The following program is paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
Well, self-worth or knowing that we have value can be a struggle for all of us at times, and it affects every area of our life. We need to learn how to receive our self-worth through knowing that God loves us and who we are in Christ, rather than what other people think of us. Today, Ruth Graham, the daughter of Reverend Billy and Ruth Graham, joins me to talk about her journey of developing a healthy self-worth. But first, watch this teaching on God's grace. What you cannot do and what I cannot do, God can do. What is impossible with men is possible with God. Let's just soak that in for a minute so that doesn't just kind of whiz over our heads and we just run on to the next thing. What you can't do, God can do. Maybe you cannot change your child, but God can. You cannot make somebody love God that you would love to see have a relationship with God, but let's just give God a chance to work on them for a while. I can't change my circumstances, but God can. I can't make everybody that I minister to like me, so I've turned that over to God. God can give me favor. It's amazing what happens when we start praying and believing for supernatural favor. Grace is undeserved favor. It's God giving you things you don't deserve, opening doors for you that you cannot even imagine could open for you, getting you a promotion at work that you're not even qualified for. I know, because I've had that happen to me. Before I went into ministry, I had that happen. I mean, I would end up with jobs I no more had any business having, and I don't really have any, in the natural, have any business doing what I'm doing now. But when God gives you favor, He can put you somewhere. And when God puts you, He keeps you. We need to learn how to really trust God for favor instead of struggling trying to make our own way all the time. Let's be more aggressive in trusting God for favor. When you go out to shop, God, I ask you for favor. Give me discounts I didn't even know were available. Amen? When you go into a restaurant, God, I ask you to give me favor. Just takes a minute. It's just a way of releasing your faith to say, God, I'm trusting you to do for me what I cannot do for myself. I remember a woman that I was talking to one time, and this was so sad to me. She worked in a department store, and somehow I started asking her about, do you guys just get a salary? Do you work on commission or what? And she said, no, we work on salary, but she said, we do have to meet a quota. And if we don't do that, then we can lose our jobs. And she said, I'm a little concerned because things haven't been, you know, going very good for me. And I said, well, why don't you pray for God to send you customers? And she was a Christian woman. Her and I had already been talking about that. So I said, why don't you pray for God to give you customers? And she looked at me so odd, and she said, well, would it be okay to pray about something like that? Now, here this woman had been a believer for something like 30 years, and she didn't know that she could ask God to give her favor. I said, well, there's people in here buying stuff. Why don't you pray for God to give you favor with them and supernaturally guide them over here to you? You have not because you ask not. Let me tell you something. You can ask God for anything, and if He don't want you to have it, He just won't give it to you, so don't worry about that. I kind of got over even, well, God, is this your will? Is it your will? God, if it's your will, you know, I know what the Bible tells me, but, you know, there's a lot of things I don't know. So we have freedom and liberty to ask God radically and aggressively. The Bible says that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all that we could ever dare to hope, ask, or think. God wants us to prosper, but we're not going to do it on our own. We need God's help. Favor. You can have favor. What is impossible with man is possible with God. Luke 18, verse 18. And a certain ruler asked him, good teacher, you who are essentially and perfectly and morally good, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now, First of all, the question is a goofy question, because he says, what can I do to inherit? And the two are totally opposite of one another. First of all, when you inherit, you don't do anything, you receive something. I can tell you that whatever we have, when the Lord calls us home, our children will inherit it. They didn't work for it, we did. And they're gonna get it. Whatever I can't manage to use, they're going to get. Now, do they do anything to get that? Well, they're just my kids. Come on, you can get something. They're just my kids. And everything that they get will not be based on their perfection. It will be based on one thing and one thing only, and that is blood relationship, our relationship with one another. Are you with me today? Everything that you receive from God is based on blood relationship. You were bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not based on what you do, but it's based on whether or not we are willing to really fully believe the Word of God. Is anybody here willing this morning to step out of your flesh and decide to believe the Word of God? Let me tell you something. If God can do something for anybody, God can do something for you. Well, you just don't know all the wrong things I've done. Yeah, well, you don't know all the wrong things I've done either. Let me tell you something. We all make mistakes. If we could be perfect, we wouldn't need Jesus. What can I do to inherit? Wrong question. Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one's good but God. Verse 20, you know the commandments. Don't commit adultery. Don't kill. Don't steal. Don't witness falsely. Honor your father and your mother. And he replied to him, all of these I have kept from my youth. Now, here comes the kicker. And when Jesus heard it, he said to him, one thing you still lack. Now, that is so frustrating. Well, I've done this good, and I've done that good, and I've done this good, and I've done that good, and I've kept this rule, and I've kept that rule. And Jesus looks at us and says, well, yeah, but there's still something you lack. You know, the interesting thing is, no matter how many right things we do, there's always something wrong that we're going to do. So it's so frustrating unless we learn to get in on the right plan, which is Jesus died for us because we have weaknesses in our flesh, and there is no way that we can ever possibly keep all of the law and do everything right and be perfectly holy. But he right now, this moment, is interceding at the throne of God for you and for I, and keeping everything right. I said this morning, Jesus, pray for me today, and Holy Spirit, pray through me today. Just think of that. He's constantly at the throne interceding for us, and the Bible says that God views us. He chooses to see us as right because we're in Christ. He chooses to see us as the righteousness of God. Can you? Chooses to see us justified just as if we never sinned, just because we believe. We believe. We inherit. We're joint heirs with Christ. Everything that he bought and paid for, we get. Everything he worked for, everything he died for, we get. It's by grace through faith. By grace through faith. By grace through faith. It's provided by the grace of God. It's bought with the grace of God. And faith is only the hand that reaches out and says, I'll take it. See, sometimes we can even get mixed up about faith, and we can think, well, you know, I got that because of my faith. Well, all you got to do, brothers, is believe. Just believe. But you know what? I read something many, many years ago, and it really blessed me. Faith is not the price that buys the blessing of God. It is bought totally by the grace of God, totally by the blood of Jesus. Faith is only the hand that reaches out and receives it. You know, to get means to obtain by struggle and effort. But to receive means to just be a receptacle and take in whatever's being offered. Did you get saved? Did you get your blessing? Did you get healed? Did you get your breakthrough? Well, truthfully, if we got any of that, if we have any of that, it's not because we got it. It's because God gave it. Did you get a breakthrough? No, I can never get a breakthrough, but I'm prayerful that God will give me one. I'm prayerful He'll download one on me. One thing you still lack. For example, maybe you can memorize the whole Bible and you pray 2 hours every day, but you got a bad temper. One thing you still lack. Come on, is anybody with me today? Maybe you are not jealous and envious. That is just not a problem for you, but you're very impatient. One thing you still lack. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 9. Before we just get too upset about our weaknesses, let's just take a look at how we should view them. I don't know about you, but I got tired a long time ago of being mad at myself all the time, and I just don't mess with it anymore. How many of you don't get along with yourself very well? I miss a lot of people. You know what? If you don't like you, you're in for a hard ride. I say this all the time. You are everywhere you go. You know, that really just became, I became aware of that years ago. It's like, I can't get away from me. I mean, you don't ever get away from you for 1 second. You can't go to the bathroom without you. Can't take a shower without you. You can't do anything without you. And seriously, if you don't like yourself, if you're mad at yourself all the time, how about if somebody makes peace with themselves today? 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. The Apostle Paul, and to keep me from being puffed up and too elated because of the exceeding greatness of the revelations that were given unto me. God was using Paul in an amazingly astounding way. And so to keep him from being puffed up, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to rack and buffet and harass me to keep me from being excessively exalted. So something was harassing him all the time, bugging him all the time, whether it was a person or a personal weakness or something in his physical body. I don't think it matters what it was. I think the point is it was. And it seems that it was a gift from God. It was something that God permitted in his life. God never gives us anything bad, but sometimes he will permit certain things because even though it doesn't make any sense to us, it is ultimately going to be spiritually better for us. See, for example, like if every time I had a problem, the moment that I prayed, God supernaturally delivered me from it, I would think that would just be amazing. But you know what? It wouldn't be the best thing for me spiritually. You know why? Because I would never have to exercise my faith. I would never grow in patience. I would never learn how to have any tenacity. I would give up way too easy. So God doesn't deliver me right away in his wisdom because there are deeper things that he wants us to learn. And we're always only interested in our temporal, immediate comfort, but God is more interested in eternal values that he's planting on the inside of us. So Paul wanted to get rid of this aggravation, irritation, frustration, whatever it was, and we've all got them, and God said no. Now watch. Joyce, please don't tell me that I'm not going to get rid of this thing that bugs me. Well, I'll just leave that with you and God. But he said to me, well, first verse 8, three times I called on the Lord and besought him about this and begged that it would depart from me. Well, I can tell you, I prayed more than three times about some of my stuff. And he said to me, my grace, my favor, loving kindness, and mercy is enough for you. It is sufficient against any danger, and I love this part, and enables you to bear the trouble manfully. In other words, quit whining about it. Stand up like a man or woman of God and say, I don't expect everything in my life to be perfect. I have the power of the Holy Spirit in my life to enable me to do whatever I need to do and to do it with a smile on my face. Well, we truly can do all things through Christ, and God's grace really is sufficient for us in every circumstance. My guest today is Ruth Graham, and she's here to talk about how she learned to develop a healthy self-worth through her identity in Christ. Well, Ruth, it's so wonderful of you to join us again to
Thank you.
Share with our people. The daughter of Reverend Billy and Ruth Graham.
That's right.
Had lots of expectations. How did your dad being gone so much affect you?
Well, Joyce, it had a profound effect on me. And I'm speaking for myself. I can't
Right.
speak for my siblings. But I know for me, when my father wasn't there, I didn't realize it at the time, but I read it that I had been abandoned.
Yeah.
He was not there to tuck me in bed at night. He was not there to teach me to ride the bicycle.
Right.
He was not there to meet me when I got home from school.
Right.
He was always far away and busy with other people.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that's what God was like. He was
Yeah.
far away and busy with people. And that's, of course, not true.
Yeah.
But I really felt like I had been abandoned.
Yeah.
And so I was insecure, and I grasped for other things. And unfortunately, I grasped for men
Right.
to
Yeah.
make me feel secure. And that, of course, never makes you feel secure. Mm. If you had asked me, said, oh, Ruth, is your security in Christ? I would have said yes.
Yeah.
But that really wasn't true deep down inside where the dark, hidden places are. And so God really had to peel back all the different layers mm-hmm. till I got to that deep, dark mm-hmm. place, and I had to admit, no, my self-worth has to come from Christ.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm just going to flail, and I'm going to just be mm-hmm. a mess. And when I finally came to that realization, then the security was very real, and security is bedrock solid,
yeah,
you
right.
know? And God's character, and I love to go through the ABCs of God's character, and my daughter was pregnant, and she was a little early, but she called me, and she said, I'm in labor. I said, I'll pray for you, and I'll call me when you need me. So the next morning, she hadn't called me, and my daughter, other daughter called me, and she said, have you talked to Windsor? And I said, yes, she's still in labor. She said, no, Mom, the baby has come, and you need to call her. Mm-hmm. So I called, and she was sobbing. She said, Mom, get here right now. She said, the baby, they've taken the baby from me, and I don't know what's happened. So it was a 4-hour drive, and I thought, oh my goodness, you know, I was panicked. I called my pastor. I said, please pray for me. I put on praise music, and it didn't go
yeah.
in one ear and out the other. I tried memory verses, and I thought, I can't remember a single memory
yeah.
verse. What goodness.
Yeah.
You know? So years ago, I'd made a list of God's characteristics using the ABCs. He's almighty.
Yeah.
He's big. He is compassionate. He is our deliverer. He is our delight.
That's good.
And so by the time you get,
do that. That'd make a good message.
That's right. Well, it does. But by the time you get to X, Y, and Z, you have forgotten the
yeah.
problem, and you focus on God because He is the zenith of it all, and He's zealous for us.
That's awesome.
So it's just thrilling, and I really got to my daughter, and I had pulled myself together, mm-hmm. and I was focusing on who God was and that He was going to see us through.
That's good.
And it wasn't easy. My grandson still has problems. They just took the trach out just a couple of months ago, and he's 7 years old,
wow.
and he still has a feeding tube, but he doesn't know anything wrong
yeah,
with him. He's
right.
just going full tilt, and they've been very wise in the way they've raised him. But God was there for us.
Yeah.
And when I greeted my daughter, I mean, we both cried. We were both
yeah.
upset. But God was there.
Yes.
And God
absolutely.
Has used this story again. He has used this in our lives because we speak together. We tell that story.
Yeah.
And she chose life when she carried him. She chose life when they asked her if she wanted to abort him. She chose life with her other children. So she talks pro-life all the way through. And I'm very grateful that God has chosen to use us. Our self-worth is in Christ, and it's what I'm ministering and I'm talking about Jesus, and when I'm reading the Word and when I'm sharing Christ, there's nothing more satisfactory than
yeah.
that. You know, I don't want to be doing anything else.
Right.
I just love what I do, and I'm glad that I can share my story.
Yeah.
Painful sometimes,
right.
embarrassing, yes. I don't like the fact that we've been through all this, but God is there, and He makes us feel secure, and
right.
He gives us our worth, and He's really the only smile I want to see. You know, as long as God's happy, I'm okay.
Yeah. You know, it's amazing when I think back to when you started, you said your dad was gone all the time. Mm-hmm. Well, he had a call in his life, mm-hmm. and he had to be gone. Mm-hmm. And yet the enemy took advantage of that, mm-hmm. maybe not with all of your siblings, but he uses different things against different people.
That's right.
And I think sometimes, you know, if we are even a little bit insecure, then not having all the attention that we feel like we should have is just like blown way out of proportion by the enemy. I wish my dad would have been gone more and yours was gone too much. And so I think it's important to make that point that if you have a job that causes you to travel or you have a call of God on your life, you know, I believe there's an anointing that comes on the whole family for that. But be careful that you don't let the enemy use it against you to blow things out of proportion in your life. And so you weren't abandoned.
No.
God was there with you the whole time. And just give us a few words to encourage people about grace, what you see grace as and how you feel like that has just brought so much help into your life.
Grace is getting what we don't deserve, you know. And we are so blessed by God's presence and God's mercy. But His grace, I think, I picture it in my mind sort of like being wrapped in bubble wrap, you know, that God's grace just envelops me and enables me to do what I need to do and makes me secure, that I know that God loves me totally and completely. He doesn't love me any less.
And just because you had problems doesn't mean God doesn't love you.
No, and He doesn't love me any more today than He did yesterday.
Right, yeah.
Or any less than He did yesterday.
Right.
And nothing I can do or say will make Him change His love for me. It's constant and it's eternal. And I am very secure in God's love. And I love to think about my father, who I knew loved me. He may have been far away and busy with other people, but I knew He loved me. I was secure in His love. I'm still secure in His love.
Yeah, right.
Even now when He's not able to communicate much, if we say, Daddy, I love you, he will say, I love you too, darling.
That's awesome.
And that means so much to us, and it's very precious. But God's the same way.
Yeah.
You know, He just is always showing His love to us every day, and we just have to be receivers.
So often we can fall into the trap of thinking that because we have, people get this, and I had the same idea, we think, well, a life with God should be like trouble-free. And the Bible never, ever, ever promises us that. Actually, it tells us the exact opposite.
Exactly right.
That we are going to have problems in our life. But having a problem with God and having a problem without Him is two entirely different things. And
absolutely.
So I tell people sometimes, you know, and I just want to say this to those of you that are watching today, you may have some real problems, but you have hope. Mm. You have help. You have grace. You have someone to assist you in and to lead you and to guide you. And so, man, I've had problems in my life, but I've done them without God and with God, and I'd much rather do my problems with God than without Him. And you know, grace is getting what you don't deserve. But the other thing that I really love about grace is it's the power of the Holy Spirit to help us do whatever we need to do in our life. And you know, I am very sure that most people would be totally shocked to know the things that you've openly shared with us. Now, in today's program, you didn't mention, but you did before, that you've been married and divorced four times. Mm-hmm. You know, you married out of desperation when you were young, looking for that love and acceptance and security. And then 21 years later, he's unfaithful. You had to get a divorce. You marry somebody real quick that's not right 3 months later. And so nobody is beyond God's help or beyond God getting value out of the messes in our life.
When we give it to Him, He can turn it for His glory. And so
that's
I'm very grateful that He has and does.
Well, Ruth, you've just been a great guest, and we really appreciate you being here. Well, would you like to succeed at being yourself? You know, today we're offering you four teachings that I've done on how to succeed at being yourself. They're on CD. And today, that's for your gift to the ministry of any amount. You know, honestly, that was one of the first things that God had to teach me. And I even wrote a book on that quite a long time ago. And today we're offering CDs. But, you know, you can be yourself. And you can even recover from being your messed up self. You know, we don't want to stay messed up all of our life. But the good news is God will never give up on you if you don't give up on Him. So all we ask you to do today is just do your best, give the best gift that you can to help us with our ministry, and we'd love to have you get these resources. Now, you know, one more time, let me say it. God is not asking you to be somebody else. He wants you to be you. God bless you and have a great day.